And so that's what Paul is trying to convey, this importance and this necessity that we not just grow, but that we're supposed to have super growth. We're to increase and to abound and to super abound.
I choose to listen and believe the voice.
Have you planted any fruit trees or vegetables at your home this year? Are you seeing any results from your gardening effort? By the same token, if your heart was a garden, what should you be planting in it? What type of fruit should you be producing, and how would you help it to grow? Welcome to the Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. The Bible tells us that the human heart is designed to be changed and cultivated by the indwelling Holy Spirit. God expects our heart to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the foremost of these is love. Pastor J.D. will explain more in his message, Which Way Are You Growing?
I read about a pastor who told of how his wife had told him that his Sunday morning message had too many points. And so the next Sunday before he preached, he said, I was told that last week's sermon had too many points, so I decided that this week's sermon would be pointless. And, I believe one of the great benefits of teaching verse by verse through a book is that both teacher and student of the Bible, we're going to cover portions of text that normally you might skip over, that you might look past. And so it's wonderful when you go verse by verse, you bring in some things that you might otherwise just disregard. You might say, well, that's the ending of the chapter, or that's the ending of the book, and that's just a closing remark. But I enjoy, because as a teacher who teaches verse by verse, you're forced into that place of taking a small passage and saying, really, what does this say? Because all Scripture has been inspired by the Spirit of God. And so all of it is relevant to us today. Is that right? So, okay, here we look at this passage, chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. And we might look at this passage and say, well, this is one of those I'll just kind of move aside. Let's get on to the rapture in chapter 4. That's exciting stuff. But I believe we'll find that as we really dig into the Word of God, we're going to discover that in every verse here, there's something for us to really grasp a hold of. And I hope that this will help us. Now, as we look at this verses 11 through 13, furthermore, it's a prayer. And sometimes messages about prayer, people don't really like that because you come away convicted, right? Always. But I'm not going to talk about prayer, so you can relax about that. We are going to talk about what the content of Paul's prayer was. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had an opportunity to go to a prayer meeting where I thought the Apostle Paul was going to be praying, I would do everything I could to get there. I mean, this guy, this incredible saint of the Lord, the incredible Apostle Paul, through Jesus Christ, obviously, but still this wonderful saint of the Lord that, you look at the depth of his prayer life and you just want to be there and hear what does Paul pray about? How does he pray? I'm sure it's not the lay me down to sleep kind of variety. It's really solid, meaty stuff. And so we need to study and we need to look carefully at the prayers of the apostles and those that the Lord has recorded here in the Bible through the Holy Spirit. Now, we find that there are numerous prayers in the New Testament. Most of them happen to be, by the way, by the Apostle Paul. It wasn't uncommon that Paul would be writing, and then in the midst of his letter, he would just break off into prayer. It wasn't irrelevant prayer. It was always relevant to whatever he was writing in the text of his letter, but he would break off into a prayer. We see that in, for instance, in passages such as Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 12, and Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, Colossians 1, 9 through 12, and 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 11 and 12. I believe that Paul was one of these men who just was always in the spirit of prayer. They said, I'm not going to be talking about prayer this morning necessarily, but we should note that there is a spirit or an attitude of prayer that we can have, and Paul was one of those. He just always was quick to be a man of prayer, whether he was writing a letter or maybe just going through the day, just, I think, continually a man that was offering up prayer unto the Lord. And you can be talking to somebody, I can be talking to you, and I can be praying at the same time. I might be praying that you don't fall asleep, or I might be praying that I don't spit, or something like that, You can be speaking, you can be sharing, but at the same time, you can be praying. And that's kind of this attitude or this spirit of prayer, I believe, that Paul exhibits in his letters as he just opens up in these few lines of prayer. So I would like for you to look with me at this very short but very powerful prayer beginning in verse 11 of chapter 3. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. And let's begin this morning with prayer. Father, as we come and we study your word, our heart is to glean and to learn as much as we can from this passage. And we acknowledge this morning that it was inspired and given by your Holy Spirit and that we might learn from it. Father, what does it mean? What do these words say to our hearts? Lord, what message do you convey through this prayer? And really, what was the purpose of this prayer? And Father, may we grow and may we understand your word and may it cause us to be drawn into a deeper and more meaningful relationship with you. And we thank you for the word of God that you've given to us, your words that we might grow by. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Which Way Are You Growing? Which way are you growing? Spiritual growth was Paul's primary concern for the church at Thessalonica and really for the church at large. Paul's heart and his prayer was to see people grow and mature and to develop that they may be strong in the Lord. In Christian vernacular, we sometimes refer to this as becoming more Christ-like, more Christ-like. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 begins with these words. Paul writing to the Ephesians, he said, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." Now listen carefully, "to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So what are we to grow into? It says that we're to grow up, we're to be Christ-like. We're to be like Christ. And this may seem like a very tall order. It certainly is, and we couldn't do it on our own. There's no way that I could say, well, I'm going to be Christ-like today, listen, without the help of Jesus Christ himself. But this is what the mandate is for us, is that we're to grow up and we're to be like Christ. We're to be like Christ. I would like for you to notice a key phrase in our text this morning. Notice with me in verse 12 these words, "And may the Lord make you to increase and to abound." Now the words increase and abound, they have the same meaning in the original language as I studied it. I thought, well, really, what's the difference between increase and abound? And as it turns out, the word increase in the Greek is translated to abound. But then when you get to the word abound, it's translated to superabound. So we might say we're to increase, or we're to have super increase, or we're to grow, or we're to have super growth. And so that's what Paul is trying to convey, this importance and this necessity that we not just grow, but that we're supposed to have super growth. We're to increase and to abound and to super abound. And that's what Paul is writing here as he begins this, "And may the Lord make you to increase and to abound." Now, those of you who have a garden or you look outside and you've planted trees, you know the joy that it brings when you see new growth on your trees. We planted a garden this year for the first time. So we love to walk down to the garden, and it's exciting to see your garden grow up. I don't know about you, maybe you don't get into those kinds of things, but when you go out and you know you've planted these little seeds in the ground and you hope that they're going to come up, you know, you plant them kind of in faith that God's design really does work. If you've never had a garden, and you plant these little seeds, you water them, and then lo and behold, you know, you come back a few days later and there's this little teeny thing, you know, poking up out of the ground, and it's kind of exciting to see. But then you come back the next day and it's a little taller, and 2 weeks later you've got corn to here, and we kind of get into that. I mean, I find that's kind of exciting to watch your garden grow or to see the trees grow that you planted. But can you imagine the excitement of watching people grow in the Lord. Brother and I were just talking yesterday about the excitement of just seeing people grow. You know, you watch people come in and week out. And some of them, they come in as like babes in Christ. They've never really been under the teaching of the Word of God. They've never experienced, you know, true biblical teaching. And then you watch them in a few weeks, and all of a sudden, you know, they're excited about something like prayer. You know, they would never pray in front of people before, or never were interested in prayer. Now they're talking about prayer, or maybe now they're talking about going out and witnessing or telling somebody else about Jesus Christ. And you go, wow, that is so amazing, because we've seen this growth in them from just like a few weeks or a few months. And it is the heart of the minister. Listen, there is nothing more exciting and enjoyable than to teach people and to watch them grow spiritually. And that's where Paul was at. He looked at the church at Thessalonica, and in his heart and his mind is, listen, I just want to see these guys grow up in Jesus Christ. I want to watch them grow. And that was the fruit of the ministry for Paul. And so he says here that we're to grow up into Jesus Christ, we're to increase, we're to abound. But I'd like for you to notice that there are three virtues or three areas in our life, in our Christian walk, that we are to grow. And Paul points all three of these out in this passage. Number one, we're going to look at faith. All of us are to grow in faith. And the second one we're going to be looking at this morning is love. We're to grow in love, and then finally hope. Now that probably sounds familiar to you, faith, hope, and love. You're familiar with those passages. It occurs many times in the Bible, faith, hope, and love. Those three go together so often. And so we're going to begin, first of all, with faith. Paul declares that his great desire here for the Thessalonians, that they would be believers that would grow in faith. I would like for you just for a moment to look back at verse 10. Paul says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That we may see your face. That we may be with you, that we may come and that we might spend time with you, that we might further share with you the Word of God so that you might understand more and that you might have a greater and a deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ. And listen, as you do, as you understand and as we share with you, we expect that you're going to grow in faith and that that which is lacking in faith will grow, will be perfected. I would imagine that maybe when Timothy, as you know, Timothy went to this church and he came back with a report to Paul, and maybe Timothy said, listen, the church at Thessalonica, they are a church that their faith is incredible. Wow, these people have really grown in the years since we last saw them. It's just an amazing growth. But you know, I noticed while I was there, there were some areas where in their faith they were lacking. And I would say that could be true for all of us. Wouldn't you agree? When it comes to faith, we find that many times we're lacking. We're going to go through afflictions, as we discovered last week, all of us. And the reason we go through afflictions so often is because it's through afflictions that we grow in faith. It is through afflictions that many times distress and tribulation and hardship that we learn to lean on Jesus Christ, and we learn that He will be our strength, and that, listen, it's not all up to us. You and I, we're not carrying this load of life by ourselves. Jesus Christ, He is there. We lean on Him, and we learn to trust in Him, and we learn to believe in Him, and that, hey, He's going to pull us through whatever it is. He's going to bring us out whatever we're in. And so we learn to just say, hey, I trust you, Lord. And I've got to share with you, many times when you deliver a message like this, you're going to be tested that week. I woke up, I can't remember what day it was. It was like 3 a.m, and I had all these things on my mind. You know, I'm worried about this, or I'm concerned about this, and you know, how are we going to deal with this? And you know how it is when you wake up in the middle of the night, that's sometimes, it's like you're just not yourself, are you? And often, you know, it's like that's the time when the enemy will begin to flood your mind with worries and with cares. And I had to remember, I had to make a choice to consciously go back and remember the message and to go through each point of that message and say, okay, what do I do right now? And I chose by faith to trust. I said, I don't know what's going on with all this, but I choose to trust you, Lord. And I declare it, and I started quoting scripture, and you know, I just felt this sense of peace come upon me. Just, hey, God's going to take care of things. I really don't need to worry about this, and I really should be sleeping right now. And so we find that affliction causes us to be strengthened in our faith, hardship. But what we discovered this morning is that the Word of God also is there that we might grow and that we might learn and that we may understand Jesus Christ more. You recall that I was just talking about that passage in Ephesians chapter 4, how the gifts of the ministry have been given to the church in order that we may learn the gifts of the apostles and the prophets and teachers and evangelists, so we may be edified, so we might be built up in what? The knowledge of Jesus Christ, the understanding of Jesus Christ, by the Word of God, that we may grow, we may understand Him more. Why? So that we can grow up into the fullness of Jesus Christ. It's by the Word and by understanding the Word of God. And so that's what Paul is talking about here this morning. He said, I wanted to come in verse 10. We prayed exceedingly that we may see your face and we may perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Number two, Paul says in verse 12, notice with me here, it says in verse 12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Now, here, like faith, the church at Thessalonica, they were well known. They had a reputation for their love. You remember going back to chapter 1 where Paul acknowledges, he said, listen, I thank God for your work of faith and your labor of love. They were a church that had a reputation. They were known throughout the region for their labor of love. So it wasn't that they were lacking in love. And you and I, it's not necessarily that we're lacking in love, but listen, as believers, we're to grow in love. We're to increase and we're to abound and we're to superabound in love. Now, by now you're probably thinking, I wished he would have taught on prayer. Because really, this is an area where all of us, I think, we fall short, don't we? We fall short. We're lacking in love. And this is surprising. Because really, this is the mark of the believer, is that we have love for one another. And yet, we so often, we fall short. And I got to tell you, honestly, what is it? We're very nearsighted, I believe. We're focused upon the big me. We're focused upon the big I. And we're not looking out at others and saying, listen, what about you? How can I love you? What are your needs? What's going on in your life? We get so inward focused and focused on our own issues. And here Paul is saying, listen, we need to abound in love and we need to grow in love and we need to look at the other person and say, it's not just about me. God wants me to love you. God wants you to love me. God wants us to love each other. And that's really the love that He has poured into our hearts. He wants us to share with one another. But so often we find that in the church, love is lacking. I don't know if you've ever been to a loveless church, but it's a sad place to walk into, and it's even a sadder place to walk out of, a loveless church. So we're to be abounding in love. Now, what exactly does this love look like? I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For you husbands, maybe it's one that your wife has underlined in your Bible a few times, highlighted. If not, she should have. We're going to look at the definition, really, of what love is. What is love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 7. Verses 4 through 7, notice with me here, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about Hollywood love? No, I don't think so. We're not talking about that sensual kind of love here. What we're talking about is what the Bible terms as God's agape, God's perfect, God's unconditional love. And so when we talk about the way we're to love one another, this is what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. This is godly love. We discover, if you will just turn back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look with me at verse 12, because we discover that using this kind of love, this definition of love, there are two groups of people that we are to love. Two groups of people that we're to love with 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. You'll notice with me first, it says in verse 12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. To one another. Who is he talking about here? Well, look who's on your left. Look at who's on your right. Who's sitting in front of you? Who's sitting behind you? This is who it's talking about. Look around you. It's the church. It's fellow believers in Jesus Christ. Now, it may be your husband or your wife, but it might also be somebody else you don't even know. And so we're to love one another regardless of who it is within the body of Christ, regardless of what you think of them or what you think of their personality. Listen, the Bible says that you are to grow in love and you are to abound in love. You are to superabound in love for one another. And that's what we're to be as the body of Christ. We're to be a people that are marked by superabounding love for each other. That's what the Bible teaches us, is that we are to love one another. Godly love toward one another is to be the mark of every true believer. We're to love one another. This is how the world will know my disciples, Jesus said, because you what? You love one another. 1 John 4, 7-8, there's a little song that we sing. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, we usually don't sing verse 8 of that, which says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so we find that in the scriptures that, listen, it's not an option. We have a mandate that we are to love one another. It's not an option. It's not something like, I love you when I feel like it. Listen, the Bible says that we're to love one another. And if we don't love, there's reason to question that the love of God is within us. Because if God's love is within me and within you, listen, the Bible says we're going to love one another. Now, there's a second group of people that we find, and this one is not so nearly exciting to love. It's the second group of people here that we're to love with this 1 Corinthians kind of love. Verse 12 says here, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. And what does it say next? And to all. Everybody, what does all mean? All. And I thought as I read this, I thought, well, okay, Paul, you haven't been to Houston, Texas about 5 o'clock on Monday afternoon, you know? And Paul, he's probably a very witty guy. He would have come back, well, listen, you haven't been run out of town for teaching the gospel. When Paul said, love all, listen, he's talking about those same people that ran him out of town, those same people that beat him so often and that he suffered so much under. He said, listen, we're to love them too.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. Calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.